All right, definitely going to need your Bibles. I have a question. I know you're surprised. I always start my sermons. I got a question. Have you ever felt troubled or worried or even wondered what was going on in the world around you? Yeah? Have you ever asked God, even, why are these things taking place? You ever done that? I have. I'm sure we all have. Also, another question. I asked about troubles. So what things stress you out? What things stress you out? That is the topic of our message today. I looked up on Google, because that's right, the place to go when you need help. Not really. But they have some interesting things. I got a chart here, the top 10 stressful things that people experience according to one of these charts in Google. Let's look at this chart. These are pretty stressful things. Divorce, hopefully we don't have to experience that. Imprisonment, that would be stressful. That would be stressful. What else we got? Personal injury, we've prayed for that even. That would be stressful. Marriage, that can be stressful. Retirement, yes, even retirement can be stressful. These are the top things that I looked up on Google. These are major events, obviously, as we see this graph. These are pretty major. But I want to look at a different graph. Let's look at another picture. I think this chart here is a little more common things that Google told me that maybe could cause stress, everyday stress. Like the one says being stuck in traffic. You ever get stuck in traffic? You get stressed? Maybe being late for church? Spilled something on your clothing when you're driving somewhere. Your hot coffee or your Thai tea, I don't know. Waking up late, burning dinner, tripping in public. I don't know about some of these, but this is what Google says, some of these things that can be stressful. I got another chart. This one's a little funnier, though. Another chart for you. What about this one? Top 10 stressful things. Watching your phone fall towards the open toilet. I've had that happen to a close friend of mine. He had to pick it out of the squat pot. It didn't work afterward. It was a six. It wasn't waterproof or pee proof. Texting the wrong person some sensitive text. I've had that happen. I've done that myself. I don't know if any of you have done that. There's some funny ones on there. Some maybe you can relate to. But, oh, there you go. The last one. Adding a kiss to the text to your boss. Or maybe just the wrong person in general. I don't know. Think you're texting your spouse and you're texting someone else. I like that most of our texting apps have a delete nowadays. So that's nice. Now, that's kind of funny, but after we look at these 30 different examples, right, some very serious, some kind of funny, I can think of a lot of other things for me personally that would make my top 10 of stressful things that wasn't even on these lists. Maybe you can think of some. Stop looking at your spouse when I said that, or your kids, about stressing you out. What about driving in Chiang Mai? Does that stress any of you out sometimes? The traffic in Chiang Mai? What about learning Thai language? That stresses me out. Or even worse is as you're learning Thai language, then you got to go to immigration. Immigration, that stresses me out. What about you? Immigration stress you out? I bet you it's our top prayer request in here at Refuge. Immigration or visas. What about money? You ever get stressed about money or your personal finances? That can be stressful. What about holidays? Christmas is right around the corner. Christmas in itself can be stressful, can't it? Many different ways there. Raising kids. Raising kids is stressful. I see new parents. Oh, this newborn is so difficult. I wait till you get a teenager, I said. Then wait till you have adult children. Some of you are like, oh, teenagers are the worst. Wait till you have adult children. See, my kids like, what? Because then you just watch. I'll leave that alone. Relationships in general can cause stress, right? We all have different relationships with our coworkers, with our different organizations and our neighbors. It can be stressful at times. Now, my two oldest children are here. I introduced them earlier. They just finished finals and they both work also. So I bet you that was a pretty stressful week to finish finals, work, and then get on a plane and fly across the world. That would have been stressful. I did a little interview process as I created this sermon. I asked my wife, I said, what stresses her out? What, you know what she said? She said, you know what stresses me out? You being stressed. That's one thing she said. She also said, our kids dealing with something stresses her out. Parents, you can understand that. And she said, general chaos stresses her out. She doesn't like chaos. She likes planning. So I was thinking about my wife's answer. Maybe you can think about your spouse's answer. She said that she gets stressed when I'm stressed. And if she is stressed, guess what happens to me? I get stressed. And then she gets stressed, and then I'm stressed, and this like this big stress circle goes on. It's stressing me out even talking about it. So after I'd written this message up to this point the other day, I went for my long run for the week. I try to go for a long run. Many of you that know me, I like to run. It's actually my way to relieve stress. I really like running. It just me, my headphones, maybe some worship music or a sermon, and my body's moving, so I can't do anything else, because if I sit, I'm doing other things. But I ran about 9 miles, and that's kind of been what I've been running. From my house in Holman Park, I run up to the mountain, run up the stairs, and run back down to my house. And coming down the mountain, my knee and my leg really began to hurt a couple days ago. But I kept running. I was like, I can run through this. I mean, when you run, you always have little aches and pains. It's pretty normal. But I kept running. But I had about 1.5 miles left. And I'm like limping, trying to run. And I'm like, I just got over a shoulder injury. And I'm like, I'm not going to like push this. I'm tired of being injured. So I decided to call Vicky for a ride. And I got this fancy watch that allows me to do that because I've had some medical history that some of you might know about. So I text Vicky to come get me, and I said, because my leg is hurting. That was a mistake. Because many of you know my medical history. I've had pulmonary embolisms and blood clots coming from my leg. And then my watch stopped working. It wouldn't call. It wouldn't text. It froze. It wouldn't shut off. And I'm sitting at a coffee shop on the side of the road after I have texted my wife to come get me because my leg hurts. With no other details. Where I am. What really happened. Vicky then could not reach me, not knowing where to pick me up, what was really going on, thinking I'm having a heart attack or something like that. And I didn't really have a chance, of course, before to tell her that it was just a strain in my leg. There was not a major deal. So she called many times, could not get a hold of me, or find me, or know where I was. This was stressful for both of us. I restarted my watch finally. I finally got it like reset, and I was able to call her. And I told her where I was, and she came and got me. She was not happy at all. I said, are you okay, honey? She looked a little distraught. She didn't say much. Not being able to communicate had caused a great deal of stress. And I think that happens to a lot of us in a lot of different situations. So without stressing out about it, think of the things that stress you out. What makes you pull your hair out? That's an American expression for some of you that we use. When you get stressed, you could pull your hair out, right? We say that. Some of you obviously have had a lot of stress in your lives, I can see. There's definitely a few of you around. But we're all going to face situations in life, right? We're all going to face stress. We're going to face troubles. Lately at the church, Christian and Laura have been gone. And they were gone. They've been gone for 3 weeks. So the worship team, praise the Lord. If you see them, thank them. Every one of them is doing a great job. Huh? Yes, thank you. It's been stressful, though, I will admit. Tony and I have been stressing about it, and Kendall and the worship team. And it's been amazing, though, as different people have stepped up and served. Thank you, Steve, for stepping up and just coming up and serving. It's been amazing. But I've been a little bit worried about the worship team each week. I've been worried about Tony more than anybody. I mean, he's already pulled all his hair out. I was worried now maybe he was going to develop a tick or something because he was getting so stressed out, right? And there's nothing worse than a drummer with a tick. Oh, there you go. That's a terrible joke, huh? No, but seriously, we're laughing because you know what? When it comes to stress and trouble, sometimes we got to laugh. Because situations are going to come up in our lives. Stress is going to enter into our lives daily at times. And we're going to face very different emotions as we walk through different situations that we are going to face. And sometimes these situations can even seem overwhelming. I believe it's a normal reaction for many of us as we face different situations to even react in fear or worry or even sometimes question God and our own faith and our calling. We're going to face major events that take place in our lives. It's going to happen. Every one of us. It's going to happen. Good news. The disciples faced the same type of troubles, the same emotion. They faced stress. And Jesus then instructed them that they did not have to live in fear in these troubles. Amen? So again, we are going to face uncertainty and many things that can be stressful or lead us to trouble. But we do not have to let our hearts be troubled. So Jesus is going to explain and teach us how to deal with stress. Big introduction. And as we begin today in John chapter 14, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 14. We remember what has been taking place. In John 13, 34 through 35, let's pull that up. It says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." Verse 35, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." John actually teaches this same command in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. He says, "Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you've heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining." So Jesus had just told and revealed to the disciples that he would be crucified. And then later he had revealed to the disciples that he would be leaving them. There was a lot going on. In addition, that same night that was taking place, Jesus had told them that one of them was going to betray him. And also, he had mentioned that all of them at some point would turn away from him. So these verses are a response from mainly Peter, but all the disciples. In John 13, 36 through 38, it says, "Simon Peter asked, 'Lord, where are you going?' And Jesus replied, 'You can't go with me now, but you will follow me later.' 'But why can't I come now, Lord?' he asked. 'I'm ready to die for you.' Jesus answered, 'Die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me.'" So it would seem, reading these passages, the disciples did have some concerns going on, some troubles as Jesus was revealing these truths to them. Just as today, there are times and reasons for concerns that we face, different situations in our lives. But Jesus is speaking to the disciples and us, addressing these concerns, our fears, with a solution. It's very encouraging because we talked about all these stressors and these troubles. We don't have to have fear. We don't have to have worry. And we don't have to have doubt. Let's begin in John chapter 14, verse 1. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." So Jesus, as he's speaking to the disciples, he fully understands and knows what they are about to face, right? The crucifixion. He also knows each one of us. He knows exactly what's going on in our lives and what we're going to face even in the days to come for each one of us personally. So Jesus is concerned for them, what is going to take place, and is encouraging them and trying to strengthen their faith. Have any of you had a troubled heart before? I ask that. Have you had troubled hearts before? What does it mean to have troubles? I mean, what does that really mean to have troubles? What kind of troubles is this passage really speaking of? So troubles, I looked it up. It means to have uncertainty. That could be troubling. Or a restlessness or an inward commotion. If you look up the word in the Greek, I'm not going to try to say it. It means to have strike or doubt or fear or dread upon your heart. This is a way to define troubles. So many of us can be facing troubles today or have faced troubles. But what does it also mean to have a troubled heart? This is your most inner thoughts, even including your mind, the center of your soul, the most inner being of your being, to be troubled deep inside. I heard the woman speak about her son. That was inner troubles. I can relate. The speaking of troubles in our lives can consume us at times, can't it? We can get consumed by the troubles that we face. But again, we see there's a solution to our troubles. We are going to face these things in life. But again, there is a solution. Jesus gives us the answer. For all the troubles that would seem so big and all the things that would trouble our hearts, Jesus has the answer. We are to trust in God. We are to trust in God. So we must ask then, what does that look like? How do we walk out that practically? What does that mean to really trust in God as we face all the troubles that we talked about earlier, even from the silly list to immigration, to visa, to our children, these different things? Trust means to have faith. Trusting in God means you have faith in God, to rely upon Him, to commit, to be confident in the God that we serve, confident in who He is. Now we can begin to define, and I'm just going to scratch the surface on this, to define who God is. God that we place our confidence in, that we trust in, is the one who is the creator of everything known. This is the one that we can place our faith in. He is the giver of life. He is the one that is all-knowing. He is the one that is outside of time. The one who is all-present. There's big words for this, but I'm not going to use them. He is the one that loved you, each of you, so much that He gave His Son. In John 3:16-17, it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him." The last part in John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Trust also in Me." This is the key. The key for all of us to find comfort in times of stress and times of trouble. It is Jesus who is God, and through Jesus we have direct access to God. And Jesus is God, and He is our intercessor, as we talked about in that prayer time. The one who gave His very life for each one of us. Let's continue. Let's look at verses 2 and 3 in John chapter 14. "There is more than enough room in My Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with Me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." As I read these verses, Jesus shares a promise for each and every one of us of how this is all going to work out. So often, stresses are caused by not knowing how it's going to work out. You wonder the unknown, right? What's going to happen? Not knowing the outcome often brings stress in our life, doesn't it? Often. Jesus tells us clearly that we will be with Him and we will be in the Father's house forever. So we know how this is going to work out, this life here in this world that we live today. We know how it's going to work out for each one of us who have placed our faith in heaven. In Jesus. Now I imagine how much and how amazing heaven is, especially after living in this world. It will be a place of worship, a place of love, joy. In Revelation 21 and 22, John tries to describe heaven, right? He uses many symbols and comparisons to describe heaven. But then he lists all the things that will not be in heaven, which I love. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more night. What a wonderful home each of us have prepared for us that we will enjoy forever there with Jesus. Now my family, and I'm sure all of your families are the same, we have faced many trials and faced many problems, especially being here and the calling that God has placed on us. You know, I rest in the hope and knowing that everything we faced here is temporary. Because so often as we walk through difficult times, I know what is eternal and I know what is temporary. And everything here in this world is temporary. It will pass. And I know the eternal promises that I have through our faith in Jesus. I have hope in knowing the truth of the future, and that in itself prevents my heart from being troubled. Look back at verses 2 through 4. When Jesus speaks of the Father's home, in the Greek, it's defined as abiding places. Because we will be abiding with Jesus. It says, in my Father's house there are many abiding places, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, I want everyone to understand that our place in heaven is already prepared, by the way. Because Jesus said here, I'm going to prepare. But when Jesus is speaking of this preparing, I believe he's speaking of the cross, his crucifixion, and the resurrection. So that place has now been prepared. Let's look at verse 5. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? See, the problem was that the disciples didn't understand where they were going or how to get there. And this is true for many of us today, isn't it? Fear from this causes stress and troubles. Because we don't know. We don't know. Looking back on these passages, I think about my own life today. How difficult is it to face the trials of the world when you don't know how it's going to end up, how it's going to end? How much more trouble are you willing to face knowing how it's going to end? For me, it's a big difference. When I know the outcome, I'm much more willing to endure, like even in a race. I know where the finish line, I know how it's going to end. But if I don't know the end or how far I have to go, you're much more likely to give up even. But when you know how it's going to end, how it's going to work out, as Jesus has given us in this life, we know how it's going to work out. We know how it's going to end. We're going to all have eternal life in heaven that's placed our faith in Jesus. So how difficult is it to endure this life, these trials that we face, when they don't know how the race is going to end? They don't know what's next, how it'll end. People often even give up when they don't know what the end looks like. We need to share this hope. We need to share this truth with the world around us so people understand and know that this race will finish. This earthly race, this physical race will finish. And it will finish for those of us that have placed our faith in Jesus in his arms eternally in heaven. Let's look at verse 6. Jesus told them, everyone knows this verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I love this. Jesus responds here in this verse in a way that nobody else can. Jesus doesn't say, I can lead you or show you the way. That's not what he said. He doesn't say, I can teach you the way. That's not what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now we get this in other scriptures. In 1 John 5:20, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding so that we can know a true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. In Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 19, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. This message is 100% clear. The only way is Jesus Christ. There is no other ways. Many people have come and said, I will show you the way. I will teach you the way. Jesus is the way. Look back again in John chapter 14, verse 7. If you had really known me, you'd have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. What a statement. If you had known me. What does it mean to know someone? I mean, look around. What does it mean to really know someone? What does it mean to know Jesus? How does the Bible explain how we know Jesus? If we know Jesus, I'll give you some part examples of that. If we truly know Jesus, we would have accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. If we know him. If we know Jesus, we will ask him to be Lord of our lives. If we truly know Jesus, we will identify with him in his death and consider our old selves dead and be born again anew. If we truly know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will accept his forgiveness and his cleansing from our sins and seek an intimate relationship through the study of his word, through the Holy Spirit, through fellowship daily. If we truly know Jesus, we will have repented of our sins and continue to surrender daily before him. If we know Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in us and is continuing changing us daily. If we know Jesus, we know the Father, we know God. Let's look at verse 8, John chapter 14. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. So often I'm like Philip, Lord, just show me. As if he hasn't already showed us enough. Huh? Look at verses 9 through 11. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Verse 11. Just believe that I am the Father and the Father in me, or at least believe because of the works you have seen me do. I love Jesus' response. It's pretty amazing. Jesus is like, I have been with you the entire time and always taken care of you. You've witnessed the miracles. You've seen these things. And yet, who is he talking to here today? Many of us, right? I've been with you the whole time. Yet, your faith has still wavered. As soon as troubles and stresses come your way, haven't I always, always taken care of you? Haven't I always provided for you? Don't you believe that God is with you? You know, I've walked through this many times. And I have to repent when my faith wavers at times. And pray that the Holy Spirit will restore my faith. And remember the foundational truths of who God is through his word. And the testimony of my own life and where what he's done. You know, as I look back and I reflect on God and his presence in my entire life, and I read my Bible, I can come back. Come back to knowing. Psalm 55:22 says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. 1 Kings 8:57. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave or abandon us. In Hebrews 13, part of 5 and 6. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? If we believe in God's word, then fear, troubles, stress should have no power or control in our lives as a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's turn back to John 14. Let's look at 12 through 14, the last few verses. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, unfortunately, when we read verses like this, they can be taken out of context. And I know some people that have taught on this. And some people will say that when you pray, say you have a sick friend and you pray and they're not healed, or maybe you're sick and you're praying to be healed, they will say because maybe you did not have enough faith that you were not healed. Or maybe they'll say you didn't pray enough. This is simply not true. It is simply not true. The key point to these passages in the prayer is in the passages. So the Son can bring glory to the Father. Is this the result of the prayer? If so, in Jesus' name it will be done. Now, why and how all this works exactly? I don't have all the answers. I don't think anyone does. But I do know if it's done in His will, for His will to glorify Him, it will be done. And how that looks and works every day, I don't know. But I do know that God is still working today. People are still being healed today, and miracles still take place today. But there's other times God chooses to move in different ways. And maybe in the ways that He's moving will bring a different work, a work that we don't even understand, but sometimes have the privilege to see later. So if our result of our prayer is according to God's will, to glorify Him, it shall be done. So looking back at these passages, I want to just give a quick outline. In verses 1 through 6, I see the way. Jesus, simply stated, Jesus is the way. In verses 7 through 11, we see that Jesus is God. And 12 through 14, we see that we're to act as Jesus and to pray in His name. Now, before we close up today, I want everyone to understand that if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life in heaven from the minute that you are born again. You are a new creation. So at some point, we all know though, right? We live in this world. Our location is going to change. Our physical bodies are going to pass from this world into the next. It's true. We're all physically going to die and experience a physical death at one point or another. But Jesus gave us eternal life in heaven through Him. He did this for each of us by allowing Himself to be crucified on the cross, allowing our sins to be placed on Him, paying the price of our sins, then being resurrected 3 days later, defeating sin and death. And now today, we have the same resurrection power in us through placing our faith in Jesus. And because of this, we have no true reason to fear. We know how this is going to work out. From that very day that we place our faith in Jesus, we know. Now, as we walk through our lives each and every day, we live in a fallen world. There's a lot of things going on around us. We're going to face many things, even daily, that will draw us towards fear, into troubles, into stress. We face these things. It's difficult. But fear, stress, troubles can be overcome. They are overcome by trusting in God, submitting to whatever is taking place, trusting Him and surrendering to Him each and every day. So it's really a question for all of us. And sometimes people are like, it's not that easy, right? It's not that easy, right? You know what I'm going to tell you? Are you going to live a life of fear, stress, or are you going to trust God? It is that simple. It is. It's through faith in Jesus and truly trusting who He is, that He is sovereign. It's a choice that each of us must make. Now, it is. The answer is that simple and it is that easy. Is this something I struggle with each and every day? Yes, I do. I want to share a quote in closing. Trust Him or not? It's a question. I don't know. I'm going to read you this quote. I don't have the author of this quote. I can't remember who it was, but I'm going to read it to you. When we face troubling times, we often feel overwhelmed by fear, doubt, grief, and conflict. Our outer resources may evaporate, and our inner strength may prove inadequate. Though, faced with possible or certain failure, we have assurances in Jesus' words to remain calm and hopeful. God is trustworthy, and He has sent Christ, who is also trustworthy to us. No one else deserves our trust. God has gracious welcome and plenty of space in His house. We need not fear exclusion or separation from Him. Jesus spoke the truth. His description of the future was realistic. He has never been proven wrong. We can rely upon both Jesus' teaching and His promises. Jesus did exactly what He said He would do, return to the disciples after the resurrection. In so doing, He guaranteed our entrance into God's presence and our place in God's house. Jesus is always with us, and someday we will be face to face with Him. Whatever the future holds, Jesus promised to be our companion. We know who Jesus is and how much He loves us. We must anchor our trust and our lives in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We either trust God or we live in fear. If we truly trust God, we have nothing to stress about. We just need to surrender it before God. It's something I have to practice, okay, not just daily, sometimes hourly. Some situations are very difficult. But this is a process, right? It's a process that we walk through as we walk through this world of surrendering and trusting God and not submitting to fear, to troubles, to stress. And saying, God, I don't understand. I don't know why I got to walk through this. I don't understand this. This is not what I thought it would be. I don't understand what's going to happen, but I trust You. And just go on with that next thing in life, that moment. I want to end simply with what Jesus has said here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Me, Jesus. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for this opportunity to worship through the study of Your Word. And Lord, I know so many of us, Lord, we face all these different situations, Lord, as we walk through this world, this fallen world, Lord. We face troubles. We face stresses. There's things in our lives, Lord, that are uncertain. Lord, there's things that happen to us, Lord, that are horrible and that we have to walk through as Your children. But Lord, we surrender this all before You right now, Lord, and we say, Lord, we know who we are because of the cross. We know who we are because of the resurrection. Lord, we come to You in faith, Lord, and call upon You as Lord. And we know that we are God's children. And Lord, You said You would never leave us or forsake us. So Lord, we trust in You and whatever is taking place in our lives. Lord, as I asked each one of them today, what are the things that stress You out? And Lord, many of us can come up with a list, some very serious items, Lord, that can really be just taxing us, Lord, consuming us truly. Lord, I just pray that each one of us would surrender whatever these things are before You, Lord, and just say, Lord, here it is. I offer this before You. I surrender this to You. Lord, I trust You. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us, Lord, today, Lord, would walk out, Lord, with a burden lifted from us, Lord, that we can walk out in knowing the God that we serve and who You are, that, Lord, we are Your children, and, Lord, that You love us and You're going to take care of us, Lord, and we know how all of this is going to work out, that it's always in Your hands, Lord, that we can look back in our lives and look at all the foundational truths of Your Word. We can look at the foundational truths of how You've taken care of us each and every single time, and yet we would still doubt. So, Lord, we repent of our lack of faith, Lord, and we surrender this before You, Lord. And, Lord, that we wouldn't walk around stressed, but, Lord, we would walk around as a reflection of Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. And that's what people would see and be drawn to You. So, Lord, we praise You and thank You for Your Word in this time today, Lord. And I just thank You for Your church, Lord. If anyone's here today, Lord, walking through something they need prayer, Lord, they also know there's a church here with them to pray for them, to walk alongside of them. So, Lord, I just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.